Welcome, everybody, to the fourth episode of Legion 99. My name is Mike Cirillo. I'm here with Nick Bodner, and we are back on our regularly scheduled programming after our special RRG episode. And Nick, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing pretty well. It's a nice lazy Sunday afternoon, so I figured it was a good time to bang out a podcast.
Sure.
And I think we have some fun stuff to talk about today. We actually have a little bit of news. We didn't touch about it on the RRG episode, but we do have the shift from Fantasy Flight Games to Atomic Mass Games going on for Legion. If you've been under a rock in the Legion community for the last week and a half, we actually had a little bit of a change in, I guess, power, you would say, from Fantasy Flight to Atomic Mass Games in charge of Legion development and production. So it is also a shame that it looks like some of the FFG employees have either moved on or lost their jobs. In particular, Alex Davey has been public about that. So it's very much a shame to see them go. But I am looking forward to seeing what Atomic Mass Games can do for us. Nick, did you have any thoughts on that?
Unfortunately, we don't have like a lot of news other than we know that Alex, because he's publicly said that he got let go. We wish him all the best. We haven't heard firm answers about anybody else. And Fantasy Flight's been pretty quiet about it. So, as usual. So we really don't know anything other than where eventually Atomic Mass will be making new units for this game, and it won't be Fantasy Flight anymore. That's all we know.
Yeah, and Atomic Mass does the so far pretty successful Marvel Crisis Protocol.
Yeah.
And
I actually own most of the line for that, and they're great models, great minis. It's a fun game. They've been doing a great job the past year, so I'm optimistic, I think.
I have a core set, but I haven't put it together yet. I should probably do that. But Actually, calling a game at LVO with Alex Davey was actually one of the highlights of my Legion career. So I am hoping that either he stays in touch with some of the community members or he pops around to some of the events. That would be cool to see.
Yeah, I met him at Nova, I think, the first year Legion was there. He was there. I think that was when I met him there. I said hi. That was pretty much it. Like, I didn't really get to, I said, hey, you're awesome. You make great games. That was it. So,
fangirl Nick.
Yeah, that's me.
In happier news, we do have a giveaway going on this episode. We'll give some of the details about that at the end. I am not going to timestamp that, so if you want to go hunting for it, have fun. don't want to give that away right away. But in terms of the RRG that we talked about last week, I think there were two things that we kind of either didn't touch on purpose or missed. When it comes to the open transport units, there's a little bit of a change to how they receive wounds. If you target, for example, a land speeder that's carrying R2-D2, if the land speeder takes wounds, R2 no longer does, unless the vehicle destroys itself, and then R2 would take a wound in the suppression. But it's a little bit different how you used to be able to like shoot an occupier tank, pierce a sniper crit through, and then a snowtrooper on the inside would die. That doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, I think that's like okay, because now you can just target the unit. So that's riding instead. So you choose which you're shooting at. I like it. If they're changing it that way, it makes sense that they wouldn't take damage just for being in the vehicle. I never liked that anyway.
Yeah, I think that's a good change there. And then also for Jedi Mind Trick, there's actually a little bit of a confusion on the RRG. The errata text and the errata image don't line up. One of them says it's range 1, one says range 2. So we didn't talk about that on our episode because we don't really know what's the right call. So hopefully that gets fact before we have any kind of events in the near future.
Yeah. not that we're likely to have any, aside from maybe Invader League starting up in a month or so. I don't think it's likely that we're having any big events soon. But maybe by then everything will be settled down a little bit and we can get some answers.
Yeah, that would be great. Mm-hmm. And then a topic that I would like to talk about, and I think, Nick, you probably share the same feelings or wouldn't be on our show notes. After the RRG, there's a huge number of viable units, not necessarily hardcore competitive, but that you can actually make a list that's going to work. Do you think Legion has shifted a little bit more casual than competitive with this latest change?
Definitely. I think that the points rebalance and even like a lot of these erratas have kind of made a lot of units more playable in general. Not necessarily, we don't know what's competitive yet, obviously, because we've had the rules reference for 3 days now. So we don't know exactly what the best units are going to be at this point. I don't think a lot of that changes. I think a lot of those units, shore troopers are still probably the best option for Imperial gunlines, and Mandalorian resistance is still probably the best special forces unit for Rebels, but I think the gap's a lot closer, and it really opens it up for the casual players who only buy one box of each expansion. Now they can buy a Wookiee, a Pathfinder, and a Mandalorian. I think you can run all three of those in a list and have fun, have a good time and hang in there.
Yeah, like you're not going to get blown off the table now with a lot of these units. Yes. Unless somebody brings, like, you know, a really hardcore meta list. Like, you can show up with a double land speeder, or you can show up with a double air speeder. And even if you run into, like, a clone gun line, you might actually be able to hold your own.
However, I do think the T-47 air speeder is really good now.
I actually think it's going to be too good, and it's going to be a problem in a month. That's a 261 points for, like, two surging to crit units that can move whenever they want to now for compulsory is, like, really good.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. So we'll see how that shakes out.
Sure.
But now I'm excited. I've kind of stepped back a little bit into more casual play. So it's nice to be able to see, like, some of these units have sat on the shelf for a while, like, you know, get them back out there.
Yep.
Yeah. So, getting them back out there. We did play a game last weekend, right?
Yes. Before the rules reference guide, but still relevant to talk about, I think.
Yeah, I think so, because we did use a new card that wasn't, you know, technically out yet in Force Barrier for Palpatine.
Salt.
Oh, yeah. Get those tokens ready. So we played on this, like, magnificent Theed table that I think you have posted on Discord and Facebook now at this point, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'll try to link some of the photos to the show notes here, but it's this gorgeous, fully hobby Theed table full of, I guess, the Imperial terrain stuff.
Right? Yeah, a lot. Most of it's, I 3D printed pretty much all of it. Most of it's Imperial terrain. And some of it is, there's a 3D tabletop armory on Etsy. They have a bundle there. I purchased that. I used a few pieces from that, and then a few models from Thingiverse.
Yeah, it looks phenomenal, and I can't wait to have more people see it, especially as we can get it to an actual event. That'll be really cool.
Yeah. But
we played a little Master V Apprentice game where I brought Palpatine, a couple Shore Troopers, mortars, a medic, some snipers, and IRG with an E-Web. And Nick, I believe you brought Dooku double staps.
Yeah, Dooku double staps, double BX snipers, and six B1s.
Yeah, I was pretty terrified going into it because you were up, like, an entire activation, plus you had the compulsory moves at the end with the standing orders.
Yeah, almost all of my units have heavy weapons too, which is nice. The little B1 gun line.
Yeah, and we ended up playing a pretty interesting game that kind of works out for both of us because it was payload major offensive, and what was it?
Supply drops.
Yeah, and essentially it was fun because we had two little balls that shifted with each other where your staps kind of flanked down one side.
Yep, we did.
Palpatine used to pull the strings with the E-Web to get in position.
Yeah, the E-Web is pretty good when it gets to shoot a couple times around.
It is, especially even, like, just the threat of it shooting a couple times is good, because those B1s tend to melt to it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Surge crit.
Yeah, there's two, I think at least two topics I think we should kind of focus on for that. For the staps, I think one of the things that didn't mess them up but a little bit got in your way is we were still playing under, obviously, the rules where compulsory moves had to be at the start.
Correct.
So you needed to keep your staps back a little bit longer because you had the E-Web there with the Overwatch and a couple of the mortars with the standby.
Yep.
Do you think that the staps changing to having the compulsory at the end would have made a difference there?
Absolutely. That's like one of those things. Like, as soon as, like, I saw that in the rules reference, like, I lost my mind. That's like, that's huge for, like, and like staps, I think, were like probably the most competitive repulsor vehicle in the game. And not anything else was really close at that point. Maybe Imperial speeder bikes, a one of, but now, like, that changes so much. Like, that's so strong. Yeah, I imagine that, like, if I don't, I can't, like, say a specific thing, or the game definitely would have went differently, but it definitely would have went differently if, you know, something would have changed.
Yeah, I would have had to respect the staps a whole lot more than I did, just because they could potentially shoot before moving into the E-Web. Yes. I kind of used that E-Web and even the IRG to an extent to keep them pinned back a little bit, knowing that they had to move first. But potentially even more devastatingly, what are your thoughts on Force Barrier on Palpatine? Ugh,
it's really good. I had a couple E5S, I think two E5S droids and two BX snipers. So round one, I leveraged some range 4 and range 5 shots to try and get some chip damage through. And spoiler alert, I got no chip damage through. Between Force Barrier, Guardian, and I think there was a heal at one point. So, yeah, I got no damage through. I made some aggressive plays with one of my BXs that almost cost me the unit but didn't. And I didn't. I don't think I actually got any damage to stick until late round two.
Yeah, I lost one model through the first two rounds.
Yeah.
Just due to that combination of medic and barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And without trying to veer too far off topic, the last four games of Palpatine, that was kind of like status quo.
Yeah.
It's very, very difficult to get that chip damage through to Palpatine over the first couple turns, because you can activate him a little bit early, get barrier back after you used it, and you're not even punishing yourself with going with Palpatine in the middle of the turn, because you can like pull the strings on anything.
Yeah, and that one round you're going to get, you'll be able to use barrier twice.
Yep. So good luck sniping my shores, because either two crits or four hits are going away.
Yep. Yeah, it's brutal. I think that by the end of round two, I had lost piles of B1s. I definitely lost a whole activation by then.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd lost, I think I had one squad that was down to one or two, another squad that was down to like an extra guy and a heavy. And it was brutal. It felt like I managed to claw my way back in a little later with some luck and no help from Dooku. But yeah, it's brutal going up against that Force Barrier. That's going to be something to watch out for in the future.
Yeah, and I think we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Palp probably makes a little bit of a resurgence here for a number of reasons we'll get into in some more detail. But let's talk about a couple new things that we do want to try. I know I got a little giddy on the last cast talking about the Dewback changes, but essentially there's this really cool Dewback list that I'd like to try that's Vader, three Storms, two Snipers, a compelling DTF, and then three Dewbacks that all have their T21 Tenacity and some form of uplink or comms jammer. And I'm incredibly excited to get that on the table, because I think it gives you a lot of flexibility with the Storms to run objectives, and then that long range poke pierce with either the T21s or the DLT-19X Snipers. And then once Vader and three Dewbacks get in, there's not really a whole lot of lists that can handle that outside of maybe like Anakin, Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I think that if three Dewbacks and Darth Vader get into range one of you / melee with you, you probably lost that game, I think.
Yeah.
Every time.
Maybe if you have like three Tauntauns, you can fight it off.
Yeah, but But at that point, I think that, not to get technical, but you're probably not at range one anymore anyway. You're at range one of the Tauntauns, but that's probably because they charged you.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's like, I don't know that I don't want to go up against three Dewbacks and Vader.
Yeah, those red saves can like spike real hard.
Yeah.
And then there's three of them.
Yep.
Do you have a list that you're looking forward to trying out the new points changes?
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited. Field Commander really changed a lot here. We now don't have to, at least for Separatists and Republic, they can take Aayla Secura or the tactical droid in their heavy, their respective tank, and they don't have to bring a commander. So I can skip my 200-point commander in my droid list, and I can go right to an AAT with a 5-point tactical droid and go with and just take a second AAT in Darth Maul. So I'm looking at a list with Maul with Force Choke, Force Push, Tenacity, and Offensive Push. Four naked B1 battle droids. One battle droid with HQ uplink. Maul's Sith probe droids with comms relay. One AAT with locked dirt and high energy shells, because all hail locked dirt. He dies for our saves. And then a second AAT with the aforementioned tactical droid and the high energy shells. It comes in at 783 points. So big, thick bid. I'm very excited to try it. Maul, AATs are really good. Very excited, very excited.
Yeah, I actually, Josh and I got to kind of proxy that over the weekend as well on TTS. Nice. I played a Dooku Maul against that and kind of got shit-faced. Because two tanks tend to shred everything that sits around Maul and Dooku, and even with Force Barrier, it's really hard to keep those white saves alive.
Yeah.
So you're going early, and all of a sudden your Sith probe droids are gone because the tanks can move and shoot.
Yeah.
And then your B1s are gone, and now it's Dooku and a wounded Maul against two tanks and Maul, and it's a huge problem.
Yep. Yeah,
I'm
like
not
this.
Really sure how to beat it.
Yeah, we'll have to. I mean, there's so much to test now. Like, so much has changed. I'm not sure. Like, I'm really excited about the future, even if it's maybe a little more like open for everyone now.
Yeah, it's kind of going to be a shit show when it comes to like showing up to a tournament with what you're going to see. I think it's going to be a lot harder to guess, you know, your potential opponents. There's still going to be some of the net listing going on, but there's so many options out there.
Yeah, something will like make its way to the top, I'm sure, for each faction, and we'll find out what that is. And it probably won't be too far off from what it was. But there, I think that the A tiers are a lot closer to the S tiers now.
And I think there's a lot more A tiers and definitely more B tiers.
Yes.
Yeah, because I think a lot of the Rebel lists probably went from like C, D tier up to B. Mm-hmm. And when you have to game plan for 15 different B and A tier lists, that's incredibly, incredibly difficult.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm not playing an Invader League this year, but I'm excited to see how it like shakes out for this season.
I'm hoping to.
It'll be fun to watch. We mentioned Field Commander with Dooku. Do you think that a Field Commander AAT is going to start to replace some of the heroes that we're seeing for the CIS, or is it just going to be a side option?
I don't think it's going to outright replace, but I'm definitely interested because I think Maul can carry the faction kind of the way that Dooku or Grievous did. I think to an extent, his command cards are really strong. He has the opportunity to infiltrate. He has 2 1 pip cards essentially. And he's cheaper than both Grievous and Dooku. Even after the point shift, he's a lot cheaper than Dooku, and I don't really play Grievous anymore. So he's a lot cheaper than Dooku, and I can bring 2 tanks with him now. So I'm definitely looking at it like a lot. There's also some silly like 12 activation lists that you can run now that Field Commander is a thing with like droids. I think you can fit a tank, 3 staps, 3 BXs, and 6 B1s for 13 activations. And you can, there's still points there. It's like you can, even with 1 tank and Maul, you can fit a lot of heavies and some staps in there. Or a few heavies and some staps, but
yeah, with the single AAT and like triple staps with the Field Commander, you can still fit like 6 loaded B1s.
Yeah,
that's there's so many bodies, and now just, that the extra B1 is cheaper for some like unknown reason.
Yeah, I don't know if it like I don't know that you don't want to bring something with a lightsaber now, especially because all those other Force users got cheaper. Obi-Wan got cheaper. Operative Luke got cheaper. Dooku, Palpatine, both Vaders. All these guys got cheaper, so I think you still want to bring one in most cases, but I don't think you have to. I think you can run a thematic droids attacking feed army, you know, with nothing but clankers. Seems like a lot of fun.
And your defense to the lightsaber might just be, I have so many bodies, you can't kill me in time.
Yeah, there's just like even Operative Luke with Tenacity isn't going to kill like 50 something B1s and 2 AATs and some saps. It's not going to happen. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
No, and I think droids are actually uniquely positioned in that sense, because if you look at like the clones, for example, a double saber tank doesn't look as great because all of the other surrounding units, you know, just they're so much more expensive.
Yeah,
even
a
naked clone is what, 18 points more than a naked droid?
Yes.
So you're quickly cutting into those activations, and with the way that clones share their tokens, like, you know, their strength is their eliteness and their ability to not waste any actions.
Well, yeah.
If you don't care how many actions you lose because you have 17 more in the background, you can make that work.
Yeah, I think Republic right now, at least, is still definitely bringing a commander. Maybe Rex. But like Obi-Wan is a really good option, especially now that he's cheaper. And Anakin's coming out, and I think that there's some play there for Anakin with either Padme or Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I actually just got hammered by a
You were saying
Anakin,
that.
Obi-Wan list like 2 hours ago. A combination of force barrier, defensive stance, Gemso, and Sorosu mastery, when you back that up with a couple like portable scanners on the phase ones, is just utterly impossible to shoot into.
Yeah, like
you take wounds every time you shoot them.
Yeah, defensive stance with Anakin and Exemplar and portable, I guess like portable scanner just running around giving Anakin more dodges and yep. Obi-Wan can just take them. It's like having knowledge and defense up every round, probably, if you're activating Anakin relatively early. Like, that's pretty good. And force barrier, it's Obi-Wan already was able to tank so much damage, and now he's able to tank more. Speaking of tank, I don't think you're replacing Obi-Wan or Rex with a second tank and not bring a commander. I don't think so.
I tend to agree. Something I do kind of want to experiment with is Padme tank instead of Rex tank.
Sure.
Because I think you can probably play some fun shenanigans with like Padme R2 and then 4 or 5 clone troopers, 2 arcs in the tank, and just do her as a straight Rex replacement.
Yeah, I don't think that I think that there's some play to that. Padme being able to share standbys with anything is pretty good. The range 2 restriction is that's a pretty big bubble. It's not like the clone range 1, which is gone. No more standby sharing, rip.
Not gone soon enough.
We won't miss you. It's okay though. I think clones are still okay. I think that like they still have options. I'm sorry you got wrecked by Anakin Obi-Wan, but also I'm excited to hear that like there's a lot of negativity surrounding Anakin. A lot of people are not fans of the way he was designed. There's a lot of people who think that he's not going to see play because of the flaw card. I think there's, you know, I think that you're going to see some people find ways around it. And I guess that's what happened here.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's fun to test out all this new stuff, but I think there's going to be a lot of validity to that idea of Anakin almost as a defensive battery.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if he's using the defensive stance with his Exemplar, like his clones can take it. So you've already are used to spending, 60 points for phase 2s and then 4 for Overwatch.
Yep.
If you just make it 62 and 2 for SA, like that's a pretty devastating, like instead of a standby castle, it's a dodge castle.
Yep.
So
yeah, I agree.
Even after the nerf, I still think clones are probably the strongest faction.
Probably.
Because you can still run an oppressive Rex gunline where they're just not wasting any token. Mm-hmm. But you could also maybe turn Rex in one of the phase 2s into Anakin and then have a Jedi as your linebacker for it.
Phase 2s are still the best core unit in the game. ARC troopers are still probably the best special forces for their cost in the game, even after their huge price hike.
Rex, they kept all their abilities.
Yeah, they kept all, and Rex didn't get touched. The only like aggressive tactics went up. So Rex, if you're running a Rex army, Rex did go up 5 points.
Right, so maybe you just cut offensive push from Rex and he just went up 1 point.
Yeah, but like your clones, you know, the phase 2s effectively got cheaper because, like you said, they lost 4 points because they're not taking Overwatch anymore. And, you know, you probably need some offensive pushes for take that clankers if you're not running full arcs.
Yep.
But you're still probably, if you were running Rex Star, I think you were taking, what was it, three Overwatches? So now
three Overwatch, 2 offensive push.
Yeah, okay. So now those can become situational awareness.
Yep, or they can just be taken away to help reduce the points.
Yep.
Yeah. I think they're still in a phenomenal place. It's probably going to be fine.
Yeah.
Speaking of being fine, we talked a little bit about the Palp barrier earlier. With the points drop that Palpatine has gotten, do you think he comes back into the competitive meta, or do you think he stays a little bit more to the edge case? Like, you know, kind of on the side that somebody's going to pop up every now and then and make some noise, kind of like Orchimedes and Luke Cook have done so far? Or does he become a little bit more of that, you know, front and center Imperial? Because Imperials are going to have to find some changes with the Shore Troopers going up.
I think if he is going to ever have a place in the meta, I think it's now. Or soon. Because he went down 10 points. We're about to get force barrier. Aggressive tactics went up and Shore Trooper T21s went up. But I think that there is definitely some merit to running Palpatine because of that force barrier.
So the shores went up, right? The mortars went up. Does that even mean that the Palpatine list even matters about his points reduction. Like, essentially, that's a whitewash, right? Everything yeah. Palp dropped, everything else went up.
actually, everything else went up because he's usually taking aggressive tactics too, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, everything went up, unfortunately. But, I mean, I've seen you play the Force Barrier list. I've seen Force Barrier on a lot of different units. It's really good. It's scary good.
Yeah, I think it's going to struggle a lot against Iden's, like, 333 attack strike list, and then mm-hmm. now the new, like, 13 activation maul
yeah.
triple stab lists with the compulsory change. Mm-hmm. I'm also not sure that it has the punch to deal with a double T-47.
Probably not.
Probably handles all the other Rebel lists pretty well.
Yes, because of the Palp bomb.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that Palp will find a place. I've always liked Palp. He's always a lot of fun to face. I never really played him much myself when I was playing Imperials, but I hope we see more of him now that they kind of gave him on the surface, he got some breathing room. Unfortunately, Royal Guards could have maybe used a few points.
Yeah, I would have liked to see them drop like even just 3 to 4 mm-hmm. points, essentially make tenacity free on them.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been nice. I also think that Palpatine's command card selection has changed a little bit. Obviously, the same cards are still there. They have the same, you know, text and effects. But I think And Now You Will Die isn't really the threat that it used to be, in the sense that you could walk Palpatine up there and just guardian him. Like, you can't do that anymore. There's too many crits. Do you think there's any kind of play to maybe playing And Now You Will Die closer to, like, turn 3 or 4, even just to get the immobilized tokens out on like a Maul that's gotten into your lines or a Dooku that's nearby, so that you can kind of focus them down, you know, trade the nuke option of the bomb for a little bit more control, because Palp's a control piece.
Yeah, for sure. I don't see why not. I think that it has some flexibility in that way, the way you're talking about it, that maybe we never thought of it having before, especially with like Maul out now and him being able to perform 3 actions. And on the surface, most people look at that as he just has charge or relentless, but no, he has 3 actions. There's a lot of different combinations you can do that he wouldn't have been able to do before. Yeah, I like Palp. And Now You Will Die is really strong. I still think its primary use should be to nuke something, though.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, but there's a little bit more of an edge case possibility now, I would say. Sure. We'll see how that turns out. Let's talk about Dooku a little bit. With Maul coming out, with the tactical droid coming out, and with Field Commander, what's his future in like the CIS meta? Do you think he's still the go-to, or is he now just an option, maybe even the secondary option?
He's still probably going to be the option. I think that Master of the Force 2, combined with Cunning, combined with his 1-pip and his 3-pip and his 2-pip, they're all uniquely good in their own ways. The 1-pip is spectacular. I don't think that, like, the list I was talking about with Maul and the double AATs not having a commander because you have Field Commander, I don't know that that's the best thing, because Dooku just brings so much to the table. And he is expensive, but, you know, there's a Force Choke, being able to use that every turn and get it right back. There's a lot there. I love Dooku. I'm glad that he got a points drop, even though he probably didn't need it. I do think that I don't know. I mean, I can't wait to test all this.
Yeah, I'm super excited to get some more games in, and that's why I'm kind of hoping that the world settles down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to do that on a real table.
I know. I'm not allowed to come visit anymore.
Yeah, Pennsylvania has unfortunately shut our borders here.
Tom Wolfe said I'm not allowed to come play Legion anymore.
I'm just going to have to get a job in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Yeah, all jokes aside, it has been like super fun to actually, you know, play some real life games again and talk with people outside of a microphone and just staring at the computer screen.
For sure.
Yeah, so I'm kind of sad that that's got to come to an end. We've got to get back to TTS, but...
Yeah, TTS is great because it's such a good tool for testing. You don't have to leave your house. It doesn't feel the same, obviously, but considering we're going to be starting a new season of Invader League probably soon, I think, probably in early 2021. I'm excited because I haven't played a full season of Invader League yet. Last season was my first season. You and Thrawn asked me to judge, so I so graciously accepted the offer. And then I was one of the alternates, and I got to jump into one of the pods late. I think I played three games in like under a week. Because yeah, that you was what
like bang them out real quick.
Yeah, I was it was requested if I could play three games in about like an 8 day period. So I managed to jump in there. The person I subbed in for had lost both their first two games. They had scored no points. And I won my last three games, and I just made it into single eliminations. Got to play some really fun games. I ended up, the person I was paired up against in the round of 64 ended up being disqualified. So I technically won.
Oh, I made it out of you actually were matched up against Frank Gal, weren't you?
Yeah, and he was disqualified. So I didn't get to play that game. And then in top 32, I got to play a game against AJST, and he was running General Grievous and double staffs, 6B1s and BXs, and I learned a lot in that game, that rebels without heavy weapons just cannot deal with a B1 gun line. That was a difficult...
Yeah, Hero Hammer really struggles against droids.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar with that, I was running Commander Luke, Chewbacca, Cassian, K2, four rebel troopers. One of them had a medic and three snipers, because it was before we had Mandalorians. Is a lot of fun, but you're relying on your heroes who can handle other characters really well and objectives really well, but they cannot handle those gun lines with lots of bodies. They like playing against Imperials and clones because there's so much Pierce in the list. There's seven units with Pierce, but they don't really like playing against 60 bodies of B1s because there's just not enough punch there, unfortunately.
No, it's really good quality dice, but there's just not enough of them.
Sure. I'm looking forward to getting my revenge in Invader League Season 6 with maybe some Maul double AAT. We'll see. I got to get some TTS reps in the next month or so.
Yeah, if you and Josh twist my arm enough, that's probably what I'll end up running.
Yeah, do it. It'll be fun.
We'll see. I'll just get peer pressured again.
Yeah.
And then obviously we've got quite a few peers in the community. We've got a lot of people that tune in that play a lot of games and are really excited to get some of their old models back on the table.
Yeah.
And Nick and I thought it might be a good time for you guys to get some new models on the table. So we're going to do a giveaway.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is, since we got the new rules reference guide with the points and the erratas, so pick out your favorite unit that from the Civil War faction. So Imperial or Rebel. Whichever one got the fix you wanted the most or the one you're most excited to try, and DM one of us or Facebook message one of us, Nick Bodner or Mike Cirillo, Ghostwalking at NSB2188 on Discord, and we will send you a painted model your way. We're going to pick our favorite choice, and I will paint it.
Yeah, and do try to check to make sure that it's in stock before you send it in, because... That'd I'm not going to lie. When we do our random drawing, if your model is out of stock, we are going to move on to the next one. Just because with all transition for FFG right now, we're not really sure when things are going to be restocked.
Yeah. But I'm going to do my best to make sure we support a local store because I love doing that. But if we have to, we'll order from Asmodee.
Yeah. And if anyone hasn't seen any of Nick's army before, I'll try to find a way to link it to you because it looks like fucking phenomenal. So... hopefully we can get some cool painted models out into the world for you.
Yeah, I love painting, so let me paint a free model for somebody. Should be a fun little giveaway, though, something different.
Yeah, so we're going to open that up over the next 2 weeks. So we usually drop every other Monday for the podcast. So when this comes out on Monday the 23rd, we'll have until 2 weeks from then to get that message into us.
Sure.
But yeah. Thanks for joining us, everybody, tonight. Tried to keep it a little bit brief, a little bit lighter here. It was a little in-depth last time for the RRG, so no one wants to sit there and listen to us talk for 3 hours in a week-long period.
We had that huge episode with the rules reference, so had to keep it a little light this time.
Yeah, in the meantime, I hope everybody's staying safe as numbers in the United States rise a little bit. So hopefully you all enjoy your holiday. If you do get to see your family, have a good time. If not, hopefully you guys can keep in touch.
Yep. Stay safe, everyone.
Have a good night.
Good night.